Hiya there, how's it going? Yeah, this is episode 3, Trans Reflections, and I suppose we should call this one What's So Funny About Peace, Love and Understanding? Now, a bit of a disclaimer, if you're not interested in any faith issues, then please, you might as well just, you know, well, you can listen anyway, but, you know, this episode is looking at faith and exclusion, and I sort of feel it won't be pulling any punches. So, like, you know, just be warned. So, you know, I used to say that there's a few things that I can't change about myself. One is that I'm trans, and another is that I'm a Christian. And, you know, I've sort of, like, I've got to be totally honest, I've sort of had to rethink this in some way. And, you see, one thing that I can't stop being is trans, because trans is pretty much integral to who I am as a human being, you know, because obviously only I know the struggles I've faced in this area. And my previous pre-transition life, if you will, the struggles with my faith and how I identified within myself were fully apparent. A little bit of insight. When people transition, should we say, a little bit later in life, we've built up years of, like, internalized transphobia. This is what we give ourselves, because we've been conditioned into believing that we shouldn't exist. And, you know, like when it's from a faith perspective and people from faith backgrounds are telling us that we shouldn't exist because we may be abominations, or God made us this or God made us that, I'd like to challenge some of them things. I have to. Simple as that. I'm aware of church leaders who instruct the congregation to dead name trans people, to not give them any truck. I'm aware of some church organisations that will disown families, kick families out of the church if they're supportive of their trans children, or like people within the family who come out in transition. It's a really, really difficult situation, because of course the church is infallible, isn't it? You know, if the church says something, then it must be right. Well, you know something, let's strip all this down. Let's not shy away from some of the facts here. So let's look at some of the Christian world judgment, the organized religion Christian world judgments from the past. You know, and I just skim over the whole the earth being round thing, the earth being flat thing, skim over that. But let's look at how we've trapped people over time. You know, and like back in the days, you know, in the past year or so, there's been all the BLM stuff. And when we look at slavery, you know, as it was, which is horrific that it even existed in our world. When the slavery come to an end, there was church bodies that had to give up their slaves. And there was some compensated, I read, well, you know, like massive amounts of money, you know, when converted to today's terms, for giving up the slaves. And you know, like a place where like everyone's equal and brotherhood of man, would we be even going down that route? You know, and then like move further along the timeline, you know, and we can touch on Kristallnacht, you know, when Nazi Germany, you know, like brought terror to Jewish communities, and then like in the Holocaust afterwards. You know, where there was some concentration camps that were actually run by monks. And then let's move forward a bit more. You know, and like I've seen all the news reports in Ireland about the poor souls who had children out of wedlock, and they were put in these homes. And there was something on the news a few months ago where they thought there was up to 3,000 babies' bodies buried. You know, and like these are people, like these were souls, you know, but because they didn't fit in with, you know, like you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. Like we see the end of the stick they got there. And that's not even looking at, you know, the scourging within some churches around the historical abuse cases. You know, and that's similar, like with some nunneries that I've been aware of. So let's just think for a minute that like if you're spouting faith to exclude anybody, then you really need to look at your faith. And I need to now move on to my own personal side of things, because when I was a small child, I used to go to Sunday school, and I used to hear the stories about Jesus, about how he was fair to everybody, and everyone was looked after, and even the worst in society, like the lost sheep, if you will. Like everyone was okay, everyone was catered for. And I think that's where my sort of sense of, my own feeling of Christianity came from. And I'm not sure if that's actually a feeling of Christianity now, looking at the big organized church, or is it a Chris, or is it a sort of a feeling of like a spiritual oneness with with everyone on the planet, because everyone is your brother and everyone is your sister. And that ties into the two largest, the two greatest commandments, doesn't it? Like there's one God, you love God with all your heart, and secondly, every man's your brother, everyone is your sister. To me, that says everyone's your sibling. And it's not for me to judge my brother. It's for me to love and to support the people around me, because they're but for the grace of God go I. Now, I couldn't make sense of myself when I was a small child, because I knew in my mind I just wasn't identifying as like boys around me were. But we were living in a culture where you couldn't even put your head above the parapet. You couldn't speak this truth, because if you spoke this truth, you'd be faced with derision. In my town, there was one person I'm aware of who was trans, and they were a pariah. They were bullied from morning till night, disregarded, almost spat upon. And I understand now that, like, people saying, well, I've got some cheek for speaking like this. But you know something? It's on the bruises and the blood of those people in the past that we now have an opportunity to stand up for ourselves. So we never need to forget that. And we have to look at the wider world, where in some countries on this world, you can be executed for being trans or gay. A little bit of a truth for you. Have a look in the Bible and see what we'll see what Jesus said about trans people, and see what Jesus said about gay people. To my knowledge, about gay people, he said nothing, nada, zilch, nothing at all. But he was pretty big on forgiveness, and he was pretty big on not judging your brother or sister. But like when we look at trans, there's maybe an argument for some commentary there, because a lot of people who have this attitude that, like it's almost like God phones them up on a morning to see where he's going wrong, and like if they can just think, the first Gentile convert to Christianity was the Ethiopian eunuch, and it's like Jesus said about the eunuch, some people are born eunuchs. To me, that would encompass intersex people. Some people are made eunuchs, that would encompass slaves, which is a different area entirely, but people who've had the rights taken away from them. And also, some people would make themselves eunuchs. And if you don't identify with the gender that you're assigned at birth, you're pretty much going to move away from that gender in whatever way possible. And I'm not trying to say that trans people are eunuchs, because they're not. A lot of these people had decisions taken away from them. That said, looking all of these thousands of years ago and representation, it's fair to say that there was something going on there, because Jesus said these people are not abominations. These people have a special name in the kingdom, and they have a special place. When you look at culture and society, like Native American Two-Spirits and people who've been gender variant before colonialism went round the world and like turned the world into a binary state, then a lot of these people were seen as like the wise people of their communities. And it's easy to see why, because if you've got an objective view, if you can see more than others, then obviously that makes you a little bit wiser. Not because you've got a bigger brain, it's just because you've seen more. Just think about that for a minute. Now, me on a personal sense, I've always, like, I've read the Bible, I've read the Quran, I've always been a seeker, if you will, and there's one part of the Bible that always stuck with me, and that was Psalm 88. In Psalm 88 it says, "Does the Lord hear the cries from the darkness of the pit? Still I cry out to you, O Lord." And that bugged me, because that psalm, it didn't seem to have a happy ending. It was just sort of like left in silence for the reader to sort of think about maybe what may have happened or what may not have happened. But there was certainly no conclusion given. So, because it really troubled me, I sort of, whenever I came across a priest or a man of the cloth or a woman of the cloth or a pastor or anyone working in this area, I'd be interested, and I'd say to them, I'd say, "What's your take on Psalm 88?" And to be fair, some people, some full-time priests had said to me, "Oh, which one's that?" And I'm thinking, well, it's your job, surely you must know it. But anyway, that's by the by. That's just me being picky. And like the thing about this is I never had an answer that resonated with me from anybody, from any person to do with the church over quite a few years. And me as a person at this particular point in my life, I sort of didn't feel that you should have women priests. I also sort of was the parent who thought that my children would never be gay. And I was also, sort of like the person who didn't believe I should be able to exist as trans. That ties it back into this internalized phobia that we give ourselves. Just think about that for a second, will you? Now, if we're going just by scripture alone, we know it says that there's no more Jew, no more Gentiles, no more man, no more woman, all are equal. Do we take this to mean that, we treat everyone equally? Or do we take this to mean that, no, you're doing this isn't right, so you are an abomination? Where's this thing about judge not lest ye be judged? Where's this thing about, like the stories about Jesus, like washing people's feet of people who maybe others would think aren't worthy? If you're going to go down the route of feeling that you're so much better than everybody else, then at least try and sort of like get over yourself a bit and try and treat people as equals. A church, a community cannot grow by excluding people. It truly can't. You exclude one person, and the act of exclusion, for me, goes away from the spirit of the faith that we're supposed to be professing here. And it's and like to be honest with you, I'm sick of it. I really am. And I know so many people who are trans and non-binary who have a sense of faith about themselves, who actually believe that there's a God, who actually believe in a structure, whether it be Islam, whether it be Christianity, whether it be pagan, whether it be Wiccan. Well, it's a belief structure is what I'm putting forward that many different people have. And it's not for me to tell anybody that they're wrong and they're going to go to hell. If I feel someone was going to go to hell, I wouldn't tell them they were going to go to hell. I'd pray for them. This holier than thou attitude, what it's doing is it's actually costing lives. I want to tell you about Lila Alcorn. Lila Alcorn, December, between Christmas and New Year in 2014. Most of our young people would be playing with the toys, wouldn't they, between Christmas and New Year. This young trans girl, she put a post up on her Tumblr saying, "If you're reading this, then obviously I must have done it." And what this young 14-year-old trans girl did was she wrote a big long post condemning the conversion therapy that was tried upon her and calling out the people who were phobic and saying thank you to the friends that were supportive of her. And this was just a person who just wanted to exist. This wasn't a person who was going out there doing any crimes or anything like this. This was somebody's child. On the 28th of December 2014, this person, when they scheduled this Tumblr post, the first line was, "If you're reading this, then I must have done it." What Leela did was, she went out that morning and she walked up to the interstate highway and she stepped in front of a juggernaut and took her own life because she couldn't see another way out. 84% of our youth have thought about taking their life. 8 out of 10 self-harm physically. And I would suggest that the other 2 out of 10 maybe have had elements of subconscious self-harm. Between, 40 and 51% have had thoughts, you know, at least tried, attempted suicide in one way or another. This is serious. It really is. And the exclusion of gender variant people by the Christian faith, I believe, is a scar on Christianity. It's a scar on Christianity. It's a bruise. Because you can't have a faith that extols freedom, that extols peace, love and understanding towards everyone, if we are doing this to our people. I've done research on different religions and, you know, most religions are religions of peace. We can look in the Hadiths in Islam and, you know, I think the term's Manathan, and basically there was a gender variant person, a trans person, who was going to be attacked by some of the followers of Muhammad, peace be upon him. And the Prophet said, leave that person alone. And you know, and like, you know, like there's the whole puritanical side of things where, you know, they say like, you know, like you're not supposed to be going in a transition to sort of like, you know, to you know, use yourself in a sex worker way or in some immoral way or whatever. But you know, human beings in one way or another at some point in their lives or another do fall from grace. You know, because we are human, we aren't meant to be perfect. We are all meant to be different. We are all meant to be the amazing, unique people that we are. And the challenge is for everyone to find a way to show this peace, love and understanding for all. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm almost on the edge of calling myself a Christian because I feel so detached from the organised faith that shovels hatred and more misery on people who are slightly different in this life. And it's all through a lack of understanding. Lack of understanding leads us in away from unity. And I've got to say, where is the love? Where is the love? You know, it's not just a Black Eyed Peas song. It's an actual question. Because, you know, love's supposed to be eternal. Love conquers all, you know. So if you've got a bag of hate and a bag of love on the scales, love should just outweigh the hate altogether. Yet it's the hate that keeps on spouting. If you're one of these Christians, or if you represent as a Christian that seeks to exclude people from faith, then all I can say to you is, just remember how many times the organised Christian church has got it wrong in the past. You know, think of slavery. Think of the Holocaust. Think of, oh, I swear. You know, think of them homes in Ireland, where the mothers were giving birth outside of marriage, and it ended up down the shame route where all of these babies have, God only knows what's happened to them, and just hope they're all in God's keeping. Because one thing for sure, they're not in the keeping of the people who were meant to look after the mother. They're truly not. If you can't get over the fact that trans men are men and trans women are women, because your biological sex and your gender identity are not the same thing. If you think that that is all that God made, then please educate yourself on intersex conditions. Please educate yourself on gender expression. Educate yourself on biological sex. And educate yourself on gender identity. And if you still can't be inclusive, if you still can't look at a trans person without feeling that your mission for the day is to do something to scorn more pressure on an already marginalised community, then all I'd say to you is just turn the other cheek. You know, one, like Jesus said, but two, like the church has done many times before, like with slavery, like with Kristallnacht, like with the Holocaust, like with the child abuse scandals, like with the homes for mothers out of wedlock. And let's see, finally walk towards a place where everyone of faith can come together and realise that everyone is different. And the fact that everyone's different adds to our strength as a community that can do good. Because I'll tell you something, the light of whatever it is that shines down on us, it doesn't just shine on the righteous. It shines in the corners. It shines in places where poverty runs. It shines in the alleys. Let it shine within you. This is probably the last podcast I'm going to do before I go to Brighton. I'm going on Brighton on Wednesday for my GRS. Or is it Thursday? Anyway, yeah, I'm going on the 24th. And it's now the 21st. Yeah, so I'll probably do one from Brighton, to be fair. And that'll probably be the night before the op. Just unpacking some of the fears and thoughts around surgery from someone who was there the night before surgery. I understand some people may have found this particular podcast challenging because it challenges people's perceptions of their own faith. And I'm sorry about that. But you know something? Personal truth has to mean something. And the safety of people and showing people love and support has to mean something. And if it means nothing, then count me out. I mentioned earlier on about Psalm 88 and the person I was at the time, where I didn't think that you should have female priests, etc, etc, etc. And I've got to finish off that story as I finish off this podcast. And the only time I ever got an answer that actually related to me was when I spoke to a female priest. And I said to this lady, I says, you know, what's your take on Psalm 88? She says, what do you mean? I says, well, you know, there's this person in here and obviously they're crying out, they're reaching out, they've got a good heart, but they're not connecting, you know, and like, and at the end of it, like, there's no, you know, there's no answer, there's no resolve. And she said to me, she says, you know something, she says, maybe, you know, it's these times when we just have to pray and we don't know the answer, but that's where faith comes in. So we pray and we hope, and because sometimes that's all we've got. And I says, well, yeah. I says, but why is it there? And she said to me, she says, maybe it's to just sort of like recognise that these people exist. And that was quite profound to me, because that brought into focus that this female priest actually was telling me something that was really useful. I felt right. So I felt that message was coming from the right place. And when people are struggling to exist in this world, maybe they can't be their full true selves until they actually accept who they are, whoever that is, and live their true life, live their true self, live their truth. Because when you get up on a morning, if you can't live your truth, and that truth isn't empowering to everyone around you, then you need to sort of maybe have another look at your truth. As I say, you know, God knew my struggles before I could voice them. And all things bright and beautiful. All spectrums. You know something? God didn't just make the righteous. God made us all. If we're going to believe that there's a God, then we believe that God made us all. So I think people need to sort of wake up, because otherwise the future of the church is even bleaker than it currently looks. My name's Ellie Lowther, ELC 101. This is Transfer Reflections, and this episode is called Peace, Love and Understanding. I'll see you next time. Take good care.